the headlines, Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei praises the resistance of the Palestinian people, stressing that they are united in continuing this struggle on the path of God against the Israeli regime. People around the globe hold rallies to mark the International Quds Day in solidarity with the Palestinian struggle against the Israeli occupation. And dozens of Palestinians are injured as Israeli forces once again attack worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied Al-Quds. Hello and welcome, everybody. The leader of the Islamic Revolution says the entirety of Palestine has today turned into a stage for resistance, dealing a death blow to all plots aimed at compromise with Israel. In a speech delivered in Arabic on the occasion of International Quds Day, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "An invincible willpower in Palestine and throughout West Asia has replaced the so-called invincible Israeli army." He said, "While Israel has now been forced on the defensive, the regime's chief ally, the United States, has suffered consecutive defeats, such as in Afghanistan and against Iran. He praised the resistance of the Palestinian people, stressing that they are united in continuing the struggle on the path of God against the Israeli regime." The leader warned that while Israel is, quote, short of breath, it keeps committing crimes and killing innocent people. Ayatollah Khamenei censured the silence of the so-called advocates of human rights in Europe and the U.S. in the face of these crimes. People around the globe have marked International Quds Day in a show of solidarity with the Palestinians. Demonstrators have taken to the streets in many countries denouncing Israel's decades-long occupation of the Palestinian land. International Quds Day was declared by the late founder of Iran's Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, in 1979. It's held on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan and in some countries on the last Sunday of the month. The annual event is aimed at raising awareness to the plight of the Palestinian people whose land has been occupied for more than seven decades. Quds Day demonstrators condemn Israel's atrocities against the Palestinians. And people in the Indian-administered Kashmir have joined Muslims around the world to mark the International Quds Day and voice their support for Palestinians. Our correspondent, Chana Bhatt, has more from Kashmir.
People in Indian-controlled Kashmir took to the streets in support of the Palestinian people. Thousands of people from all walks of life marched in different parts of the region, holding banners and placards to voice solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine and denounce Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories.
Al-Quds is a symbol of peace and brotherhood. The main motto of the Israelis is to show solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine and against Israel and America. We want to tell the so-called world leaders that it is shameful that you failed to resolve the Palestinian issue.
Each year, the International Al-Quds Day is marked on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as a reminder to the Muslim world about the occupation of the Palestinian lands by the Israeli regime.
1400 years ago, Imam Hussein exposed the true face of terrorism, and today we see Israel and America how have oppressed the Palestinian people. We gather against all the oppressors and we want to tell them we stand united.
People gathered in mosques for congregation prayers and took to the streets immediately after prayers to demand freedom for the occupied Palestinian lands. Anti-Israeli and pro-Islamic slogans echoed in the region as people decried the US-backed Israeli oppression in Palestine.
Muslim scholars in Kashmir say it's time Muslims of the world unite. Otherwise, the United States, the Israeli regime and their allies will continue to divide the Muslim community. Shahana Bhatt, Indian Administered Kashmir.
Meanwhile, Iranians have turned out in their millions on International Quds Day as part of global demonstrations in support of the Palestinian people.
Voices of solidarity with Palestinians once again resonated in Iran on the International Quds Day. Every year, the occasion brings millions of people to the streets to condemn the Israeli occupation of Palestine and its crimes against the Palestinian people.
Israel has been violating the sovereignty of Palestine for more than seven decades. They have expelled Palestinians out of their motherland. But no one is talking about this in US and Europe. So it's our duty as Muslims to come here and speak out about it.
I feel duty-bound to participate in the Quds rallies to remind the people of the world that Israel continues to kill Palestinians. Blatant rights violations are carried out by Israelis, but the UN is keeping mum.
This year's Quds Day is marked as Muslims are infuriated by Israel's fresh spate of raids on Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Since early April, the regime has intensified its violence in the occupied Palestinian territories, with the old city of Al-Quds being the flashpoint. Israeli forces have also been cracking down on solidarity protests throughout the occupied West Bank. Tel Aviv says it seeks to arrest, quote, Palestinian terror suspects, something which is described by demonstrators here as laughable.
What would it make Israelis if Palestinians are terrorists? Israel has for decades been slaughtering innocent women and children in Palestine and continues to seize their lands. How dare they call Palestinians terrorists?
You know, the Palestinians were just there praying, the women were there praying, they attacked the women, the Israeli soldiers attacked the children. Innocent people, they were beating them up, arresting them, just because of being there and praying.
Demonstrators here call on Western leaders to adopt an all-inclusive, non-selective approach toward human rights, one that would see no difference between the suffering of Palestinians and Ukrainians.
Look at the outcry. Look at the outrage for the Ukrainian people. I'm so sad for the Ukrainian people, too. But what about Palestine? It's not a month that Ukraine has been occupied, but what about Palestine? It's over 7 years that people living under occupation.
Quds Day was first designated in 1979 by the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, who called on all Muslims to hold pro-Palestine rallies on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. Over the past 2 years, Quds rallies had been called off due to the coronavirus pandemic, and this is the first time in 2 years that the occasion is marked with physical participation.
4 decades since Iran introduced Quds Day, the occasion has turned into a global pro-Palestine rally, with even Jews around the world participating to denounce the Israeli occupation and raise awareness of the Palestinian suffering. These people say if it wasn't for Quds Day, the Palestinian cause could have slipped into oblivion. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Also, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas reiterates the Palestinian people's determination in resisting the Israeli regime in a virtual speech delivered at a protest in Yemen's capital, Sana'a, on International Quds Day. Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh said resistance is, quote, the shortest way to liberate Palestine and Al-Quds. He said intensified Israeli violence against the Palestinians in the occupied territories proves what the Zionists are after, which is to keep the land occupied and empty it from its true owners. Haniyeh also said the Al-Aqsa Mosque is a red line. Elsewhere, the Hamas chief praised the people of Yemen for their participation in mass Friday protests in support of Palestine. He said Palestine and Al-Quds do not belong to only the Palestinians, but all freedom-seeking people around the world. The Secretary General of Lebanon's resistance movement, Hezbollah, says the Zionist regime and its Western allies have failed in their attempts to lead the Palestinians into despair or make them forget about their land and holy sites. Sayed Hassan Nasr said the United States and Israel have been unable to enhance the Zionist entity's image in the region. Nasr said enemies thought they could disappoint the Palestinians by normalizing with the Israeli regime, but they failed. The Hezbollah leader said enemies of Palestine also imagined the world would forget the Palestinians and their struggle throughout the years, but even after decades, the Palestinian cause stays alive. Nasrallah was giving a speech on International Quds Day. He also hailed recent military operations by individual Palestinians in the occupied territory, saying such endeavors are a must alongside resistance. Nasrallah said military confrontations have proven the weakness of the Zionist security apparatus. He said it was treacherous and humiliating of some Arab states to normalize ties with the occupying regime. Well, for more insights on the recent comments made by Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, we're joined by activist and political commentator Laith Maruf, who's joining us from Montreal. Mr. Maruf, it's great to have you with us. First of all, as you explain the significance of International Quds Day for us, walk us through the recent keynotes made by Secretary General of Lebanon's Hezbollah movement.
There was so much important things that were brought up by Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah in his speech. what I would say the most shocking statements made, and they probably are causing now ripples in the Zionist entity, is his statement on responding to any attacks by the Zionists on Iran and or Lebanon. So we heard Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah say that he knows that the Islamic Republic of Iran, after it retaliated against the Mossad base in Erbil, sent a message to all the newly normalizing Arab states with the Zionists, saying that if there was any attack from their territory by the Zionists on the Islamic Republic, that Iran will immediately respond to the source of attack in those countries. The second thing that is very, very important is Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah revealed that the Zionists are right now organizing for nationwide military exercises across all of historic Palestine, that it will unfold in the next week or two, that this will happen during the elections in Lebanon, that actually the Lebanese resistance is going to be on the highest alert and ready to respond to any stupid actions by the Zionists immediately on the spot, which means that there will be no warning to any response that comes from the Axis of Jerusalem, which is now the new name for the Axis of Resistance, the Jerusalem Alliance.
Mr. Maruf, one issue that Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah mentioned was the reprisal attacks that took place in the heart of Tel Aviv a few weeks back. Hassan Nasrallah said that it's very important. He praised them as heroic acts. I want you to describe the importance and the significance of such operations, as grassroots Palestinian operations are increasing in a way, venting their anger against the Israeli atrocities, their aggression, and the day-to-day violation of Palestinian rights.
Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah mentioned these lone actions of resistance in Palestine in the context of the drive of normalizations by the Zionists with their the vassal Arab states. He mentioned how this normalization, the intent of it was to install despair in the hearts of the Palestinian people, and that these actions of individuals taking direct action of attacks on the Zionist occupiers makes it was a clear response by the Palestinian people to the steps of the vassal Arab states, especially when we take into consideration the Naqab summit that hosted these vassal states with the Zionists, and how the attack in al-Naqab came on the same day. He also mentioned how these lone attacks are making it impossible for the Zionists to provide the most important and necessary thing for the Zionist entity to exist, which is security, because none of the intelligence apparatuses, the equipment, the software, the surveillance that is there on top of the Palestinians that the Zionists have installed is able to stop an action of an individual who has no support, financial support, who by themselves organized a martyrdom action against the Zionists, who by themselves, without no financial or military support, acquired the equipment to conduct this attack, and without any intelligence support, mapped out their attack and conducted it. So this is important because it hits at the heart of the existence of the Zionist entity, which cannot exist without providing security to its colonists.
One last issue that we'd like to discuss as well. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah denounced as treacherous and humiliating some Arab states' efforts to normalize ties with the occupying regime. I'm not sure if you caught the entire speech live. I was listening to it. He said, I want those Arab states, those Arab regimes, to list one achievement, one positive benefit of signing those deals, signing those normalization deals with the Israelis. I want you to talk more about that. He wants to highlight the fact that on one hand, these Arab states, they've basically lost the support of their people, and they've gained nothing from normalizing ties with the Israeli regime.
Yes, I mean, he went even further. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah pointed out to the reasoning these vassal states gave to for their normalization, claiming that they're normalizing to be able to help the Palestinians, to have some sway over the Zionists. And he said, obviously, these arguments are ridiculous, are humiliating, because these arguments are made as if the public is stupid. And obviously, he pointed out that since normalization, all these attacks that came on the Palestinian people, the destruction of homes, the expulsions from Jerusalem, the attacks on Gaza and the West Bank, that none of these normalizing states were able to provide the Palestinians with any sort of support or pressure on the Zionists to change their behavior. Therefore, it's clear that normalizing Arab states have only shown that they have no honor, that they have no strategy, and that they are stupid themselves, and not the audience that is watching their statements that is stupid.
All right, thanks a lot to activist and political commentator Laith Madhav joining us from Montreal. Well, Israeli forces have once again attacked Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. So far, these 42 Palestinians have been confirmed injured. Israeli police fired rubber bullets and stun grenades at Palestinian youths who responded by hurling stones. Tensions have remained high in the occupied Palestinian territories in the past several weeks. The situation is particularly tense in Al-Aqsa City, where the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound is located. Israeli troops have on various occasions attacked Palestinian worshippers there as they gathered for prayers during the holy month of Ramadan. The desecration of the mosque has drawn widespread condemnation, with Palestinian resistance groups promising a strong response. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to another episode of our weekly series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you know, in last episode, a fortnight ago, we started explanation of Surah Ar-Rahman, which is considered the crown of the Noble Quran, since it opens with the word Ar-Rahman, or the All-Beneficent, thus proclaiming one of the most beautiful attributes of the Almighty Creator. This surah highlights the All-Merciful Lord's wonders of creation, describes the end of the material world, and paints an evocative picture of the delights of paradise. Hell is briefly contrasted in Ayah 43 with the joys that await the righteous. The refrain, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which means, so which of your Lord's bounties will you both mankind and jinn deny? Runs throughout the surah. We continue from where we left you, and here are ayahs 7, 8, and 9 of the surah.
وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانَ أَلَّا تَطْغَوْا فِي الْمِيزَانَ وَأَقِيمُوا الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُوا الْمِيزَانَ.
He raised the sky and set up the balance, declaring, do not infringe the balance, and maintain the weights with justice, and do not shorten the balance. If you might recall, in our explanation of the previous ayahs of this surah a fortnight ago, we said the solar system, at the center of which is the sun and includes human life on planet Earth, exists as per precise calculations and functions in the most orderly manner. The universe has been created in a way as to provide the best services to the best of creation, that is, the human beings, most of whom, unfortunately, are ungrateful to God and destroyers of the world of nature, without realizing these wondrous divine blessings. In contrast, the celestial bodies, as well as other forms of creation on earth, such as mountains, rivers, oceans, herbs, and trees, are obedient to the one and only Creator. The ayahs that we now recited mean to say that God has raised the sky, which appears as a magnificent canopy adorned with galaxies that appear as glittering stars to us, and encourages us to contemplate on the wonders of creation, which are manifest proofs of the infinite power and exaltedness of the Lord Most High, who has also granted us the concept of balance to realize the measure of all things, including evaluation of our own actions. He has warned us against disturbing the balance of things with exhortation to maintain justice in society by first observing weights and measures in our dealings with each other without the least cheating or deceit. Here, it would not be out of context to cite a famous saying from the Prophet's vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, the symbol of justice in society, while inspecting the marketplace. O merchants, ask God Almighty for good. Find divine blessing in being lenient toward people. Refrain from telling lies in transactions. abstain from injustice, be not involved in usury. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number one, the universe is based on perfect order, with the celestial bodies that appear as glittering lights in the canopy of a sky far above, following fixed courses with measured out calculation. Number two, among the wonders of the universe is the balanced placing of all things in their respective spheres, which in turn require us to maintain justice in society, since disturbing of the calculated measures of creation, whether in the environment around us or our own unjust actions, leads to devastation of the world of nature and our own self-destruction, besides the punishment that awaits the disbelievers and sinners on Judgment Day. Number three, as the creation is based on balance and order, the raising of prophets, imams, and saints is also aimed at ensuring guidance for human beings, with emphasis on righteousness, justice, virtue, which are interconnected. And number four, balance may be applied in all matters, including beliefs and ethics, and whatever may be essayed in everyday life, so that people may not be wronged in transactions or incur loss in other affairs. We invite you to listen to ayahs 10, 11, 12, and 13 of the same surah in conclusion of this week's episode.
وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَابِ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَالنَّخْلُ ذَاتُ الْأَكْمَامِ وَالْحَبُّ ذُو الْعَصْفِ وَالرَّيْحَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
And the earth, he laid it out for mankind. In it are fruits and date palms with sheaths, grain with husk, and fragrant herbs. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? Among the divine blessings is the creation of planet Earth with all its wondrous forms of life and inanimate objects as the cradle for the comfort and flourishing of human beings, who have been granted different types of provisions to eat and enjoy, such as a variety of fruits and vegetables and grains, including wheat, rice, barley, millets, etc., as well as various fragrant plants and flowers to take pleasure from. Divine bounties encompass all our life and the environment around us, as irrefutable proof of God's omnipotence, graciousness, and mercy, which cannot be denied, although many people fail to recognize and realize these realities. Thus, the rhetorical question posed by Ayah 13, which is repeated after every few ayahs, as a reminder to make both mankind and genies reflect upon the blessings of the all-merciful Creator by opening their mind's eye and taking stock of themselves and their deeds. From these ayahs, we learn that, number one, cognizance of divine bounties results in consciousness of His power and wisdom, which in turn make us humble and obedient to Him. Number two, fruits and vegetables play a very important role in nutrition, while dates have high nutritious value, and for this reason have been mentioned separately. Number three, the fragrance and beautiful color of herbs and flowers are all part of wondrous divine bounties. And number four, both the humans and the jinn should be careful not to deny divine bounties.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This Friday is the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. It's not just an arbitrary day. Last Friday is not just an arbitrary day that Muslims have decided is an important day in the calendar of the believer, in the calendar of the month of Ramadan. Actually, we have a very important supplication, a very important dua, which we were taught by the very famous companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, named Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. May Allah elevate the great rank of this great man. Jabir has been reported to have said, and this is related by Sayyid ibn Tawus and also by Sheikh As-Saduq, may Allah grant both of them a great reward for their services to this faith. They both have narrated the following from Jabir, that he says that I visited the Messenger of Allah, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, on the last Friday of Ramadan. And he says that the Prophet looked at him, at Jabir, and he says, Jabir, that this is the last Friday of Ramadan, and so you should bid farewell to the month by saying the following supplication. And then the Prophet made this dua and he taught it to Jabir. And this is something which today, even you and I, brothers and sisters, are recommended to recite today on this final Friday of Ramadan, where the Prophet has been quoted as saying, Allahumma la taj'alhu akhir al-ahdi min siyamina iya. Fa in ja'altahu faj'alni marhuman wa la taj'alni mahruman. It's a very short dua, it's a very short prayer that the Prophet recited and read and taught Jabir, that every believer should make it a point to read on this last day. And let me also provide us the English translation so we know what it is that we're asking Allah for on this final Friday of the month of Ramadan. So the translation reads, O Allah, do not make it, meaning do not make this current Ramadan that I'm currently in, do not make it the last month of Ramadan which we live through, of our fasting. But if you decide so, Allah, that we will not live to see the next year of Ramadan, then allow me to benefit from your mercy. And do not make me deprived of your mercy. Don't allow us to be marhum, to have the mercy of Allah, and do not make us mahrum. Do not deprive us of the mercy. Again, a very beautiful dua and a very simple dua to read. And then the Prophet says that anyone who says this supplication will win one of two good things. You and I, whoever just read this, if it's read deep down from the heart, with emotion, with feeling, with sentiment, with understanding, with meaning it to God, we will get one of two things. Either we will attain the next Ramadan, we'll live a life, we will have the ability to fast and to enter the month of Ramadan, and God willing, inshallah, we pray to God, we earnestly, sincerely pray to Allah that let this be our final Ramadan in COVID. Ya Allah, we pray to you to allow us to attain the next Ramadan. And if we don't, then allow us to have the mercy and forgiveness of you. As the Prophet said, that either we get the next Ramadan or we would have the forgiveness and mercy of Almighty Allah. As I move on in this virtual Friday sermon for today, I wanted to obviously speak about what it is today, what today is all about as well, in addition to being in the month of Ramadan, in addition to being Friday, in addition to being the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, it is also known as Yom al-Quds, the day, the International Day of al-Quds, of the liberation of the occupied Palestine. This is an event which was initiated by the late Ayatollah Khomeini. It obviously has to do with the occupation, the illegal occupation of al-Quds, of Palestine, which is now 70 years plus going on, going strong, unfortunately. And obviously, not only does it mean occupation of land, but it is the displacement of tens of thousands of millions of Palestinians whose homes were literally stolen from underneath them. You know, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam told us, you don't chop down the trees, even of the enemies. What's happening in occupied Palestine? Homes are destroyed. Gardens are destroyed. And, you know, this is all being done under the international observers, right? The United Nations, the United States of America, Canada, Europe, all of these countries around the world have turned a blind eye to the oppression. You look at even what Prime Minister in Canada has said, Justin Trudeau, but even the BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement, that this is anti-Semitic. We should discuss Palestinian rights at the international forum, but don't use means like the BDS. So the Palestinians fight fire with fire, they use violence, and they're told don't be violent against the aggressor. Then people in other parts of the world say, well, we're not going to invest in Israel. We're not going to buy products made in the occupied territories. We're not going to support them at the intellectual level. University professors will boycott. And they say, well, no, that's also not right. So weaponry is not right to use. Obviously, we don't advance the cause of fighting and killing innocent people. But then you say you can't even use the boycotting and sanctions. But yet when it came to South Africa and apartheid in the white race of South Africa, didn't boycotting South Africa do bring about a change in the system and the government? Here you say we don't use boycotting and sanctioning as a weapon, but yet what are you doing to the Islamic Republic of Iran? Boycotting, sanctions? Even other third countries cannot even do business with the Islamic Republic of Iran? You're using that as a sanction, as a weapon of mass destruction, of killing innocent people, not allowing medicine maybe to get through and other needs, even though you say, well, there's no limit, you know, there's no sanction on medication and other needs. But yet you see that it's being used as a weapon in Iran, and you have no problem with that. You have no problem sanctioning the Muslim world or those other even non-Muslims who don't see with your point of view, like Cuba, like maybe other countries in Latin America or North Korea or maybe other countries. They're okay to be sanctioned. They're okay to be bombed into submission. But yet what's happening in occupied Palestine, that you have a double standard. We've seen that in Canada. We see that on the international scene, unfortunately. You know, but as our religious scholarship, whether it be His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei and his message today, or His Eminence Ayatollah Sistani and the message he gave to the Pope when they met in Najaf al-Ashraf, is that this is an issue which needs to be resolved. And it will be resolved one way or the other, either today or tomorrow, either through the politicians of today or through Imam Mahdi tomorrow, alayhi salam, with Prophet Jesus in his support. They will deal with the situation of Palestine. Prophet Jesus, the same man who was oppressed, who himself was terrorized when he lived in that region, and that Allah had to raise him up to him because of the attacks against him and his mother, and the character assassination, and the physical attacks and physical attempts at assassinating Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam, in that same land of occupied Palestine. He will return with Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, and they too will remove the oppression and tyranny, not only in Al-Quds, but around the world. And, you know, we have to decide what side of the struggle that we are on, brothers and sisters. And I'm not talking about picking up a gun or a weapon, no. Our voice is a weapon today for us. Our ability on social media to let people know of the injustices, of the oppression, of the corruption of that government that exists in the occupied Palestine. تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You think them to be a united block, but their hearts are divided. And may God divide their hearts even more. We have to do our role, brothers and sisters, in countering oppression in whatever ways we have the ability. Where we live, we have the power of the pen. We have the power of social media, the power of a voice. So we should be a voice for the voiceless.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Oh, yeah. I will caress with my bare hands every precious grain of sand, every stone and every tree. 'Cause no matter your soul will always be free.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
Ramadan, the month of opportunities. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Salam and welcome to the program. As it has been said before, the faithful should compete in righteous deeds. One of the highly recommended righteous deeds in Ramadan is to spend to the needy and the poor. The Noble Quran says in Ayah 177 of Surah Baqarah, piety is not to turn your face to the east or the west. Rather, piety is personified by those who have faith in Allah and the Last Day, the angels, the book, and the prophets, and who give their wealth for the love of Him to relatives, orphans, the destitute, the traveler, the beggar, and freeing the slaves, and maintain the prayer, and give the zakat, and those who fulfill their covenants, when they pledge themselves, and those who are patient in stress and distress, and in the heat of battle, they are the ones who are truthful, and they're the ones who are God-wary. This ayah calls on the faithful to do good to others, but reminds us that the condition for acceptance of all good deeds is to have faith in God and His prophets. Ayah 247 of Surah Baqarah also reads, those who give their wealth by night and day, secretly and openly, they will have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. Imam Ali Pisepanhim says, "Do not postpone helping the needy to tomorrow, because you do not know what will occur to you and him tomorrow." Yes, we do not know if we will be able or will have time to help him tomorrow. If we give others, God will grant us manifold in this world and the hereafter. So we must not think that we have done a favor to others. In fact, it is God's favor to give us the opportunity to spend to others. God says in Ayah 264 of Surah Baqarah, "Oh, you who have faith, do not render your charities void by reproaches and affronts." In addition to our wealth, we can give our knowledge, reputation, and life in the way of Allah. We should be sure that whatever we give in the way of Allah will not decrease, but it will grow. Even if we sacrifice our life as our most precious possession, we will find the eternal life with God. Now let us discuss some of the points on the kinds of food which are better for sahari, that is, pre-dawn meal. Nutritionists argue that giving up sahari will cause headache. Those who do not have the pre-dawn meal will face shortage of energy, which will lead to consumption of fat reserves in body. The incomplete metabolism of fats will create compounds in body, which in turn will cause bad smell in mouth, headache, muscular pains, and feeling of sickness. Sahari is necessary especially for teenagers. Other effects of refusing to have pre-dawn meal are listlessness, decrease of learning power, languishes, tiredness, etc. To secure liquids of body, it is recommended to drink low-sugar fruit juices, thin duq, which is a mixture of yogurt and water, which has little salt and light tea. Drinking too much tea in sahari not only will not secure the water of body, but also it will cause discharge of water as it is diuretic. It is the quality of food and drink that is important. Generally, vegetables and fruits are good for Ramadan, particularly those which include fiber. Instead of drinking fizzy and harmful juices and drinks, it would be better to drink herbal drinks which refine the blood, purify the liver, the kidneys, and clean the stomach and the veins. However, the best drink before dawn is a mixture of lemon juice and honey. Lemon juice will facilitate digestion and prevent thirst, while honey will maintain the sugar of body. The practice and behavior of great ulama during the blessed month of Ramadan is worth hearing. They used to show their love and obedience to the Ahlul Bayt, or the progeny of the Prophet, by pilgrimage to the tombs of the descendants of the Prophet. The greatest exegete of the Noble Quran in the 20th century, Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, during his stay in Qom, used to pay a visit to the shrine of Lady Fatima Masume, peace upon her, before iftar. He was in a very high degree in Irfan, that is, Islamic Gnosticism too. Allama Tabatabai was accustomed to prayer and supplication. He was engaged in prayer and verbal remembrance of God while walking and sitting. During his classes, whenever there was a silence, his lips were seen to pray and supplicate. This great teacher of the Quran would not forget even non-obligatory prayers. He was awake all nights of Ramadan till morning. He used to study for a few hours, and then he would recite the Quran, pray, and supplicate. Great thinker and expert of Islamic sciences, Martyr Murtaza Mutahhari said about his teacher, "I have met many philosophers and Gnostics, but my respect to Allama Tabatabai is not because of his philosophy. It is because he is a lover and enthusiast of the Ahlul Bayt. Allama Tabatabai used to break his fast during Ramadan by kissing the holy lattice of Lady Ma'sume, peace upon her. He used to go to the holy shrine on foot. He would kiss the lattice and then return home and eat food."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of the speech delivered on April 12, 2022 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the government officials of the Islamic Republic. One of the battles where people abandon the Holy Prophet except for the commander of the faithful and a few others was the Battle of Hunayn, just like the Battle of Uhud. Well, this is the result of becoming arrogant. Of course, later, God the Exalted helped them and they managed to win. But this is the result of becoming proud of oneself. It will make one collapse. Not only will it make us collapse, but it will also make the group that moves around us collapse as well. This is why we read in supplication in Dua al-Kumail that you make me content with what you have given me and in all cases humble. You must be humble at all times. Humility means modesty, and it is the opposite of arrogance. In supplication of Kumail, one asks this of God. One of the problems with arrogance, if it shows up in us, is that it makes us walk away from the people. Arrogance makes us drift away from the people. The people become small in our eyes. We will humiliate them and we will naturally walk away from them. It makes us delusional about ourselves.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
We think more highly of ourselves, more than what we are. This is the pest of arrogance. When we have a sense of self-importance, our mistakes become smaller in our eyes, while all of us make mistakes. All of us acknowledge in our hearts that we have some shortcomings. In certain cases, we know that we have made mistakes in such and such areas, but these mistakes become small in our eyes. That is why if someone else makes these mistakes, they seem grave to us, that our own mistakes seem small in our eyes. When mistakes seem insignificant, we become negligent about correcting them. We will not correct them and continue making them. These are the outcomes of arrogance. Notice how problematic this becomes. It deprives us of listening to friendly advice. Sometimes a person says something to us out of malice, and it might make us angry, but sometimes people criticize us in a friendly way and we will not listen. Well, this is the first detriment, becoming arrogant.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.